I don't know if I ever want to be a head coach again after this year.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. Today we're going to be looking back at the four games from Thursday, a lot of injury news in the NBA which we'll touch on, and then previewing 10 games for Friday. Michael Bolton, he is pumped.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed. Before we actually do get to it though, just a quick thing, if you want to go and vote for this podcast on the Australian Podcast Awards, I do encourage you to do that. You can see the link on my Twitter timeline, so go ahead and check that out. It'd be great if you could vote for this show in the most popular podcast award. It'd be great to get some more votes in there. Not that far off the leaders at the moment, so just I know all the people that listen to this, it takes you about 2 minutes to do, and it'd be great if you could help this show out and vote for us over there. A quick note on the All-Star selections. I think the starters are fine, no problems with those. Paul George over Anthony Davis or Nick Jokic, you could have your arguments there, but whatever. There's no worries with that at all. There's a few things that are curious. So the players voting Derrick Rose ahead of Damian Lillard is absolutely ridiculous nonsense. I know the fans did it. The fans, majority of fans are idiots. Maybe not majority. Obviously, some of the people voting are not voting for basketball reasons. The players voting Rose over Lillard is a joke. But the media members, the one media member who did not vote James Harden in, what are you doing? And then in the Eastern Conference, one person didn't vote Kawhi, one person didn't vote Giannis, and one person didn't vote Embiid. And in their places, they added in Jason Tatum, Pascal Siakam, and Nick Vucevic. That is absolutely staggering to me, that anybody could have those three guys ahead of the other three guys. I hope it was just one person that had those three in and was just like, I'm going to be the biggest contrarian dickhead of all time. And of course, he should have his ballot taken away from him if that was the case. But any of those things, they're literally indefensible. I think Siakam's got a chance to be an all-star. Tatum has absolutely zero shot. And to have him over Giannis or Kawhi or Embiid, it proves that you have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. And it's pretty disgraceful that sort of stuff does go on in that sort of scenario. So that's all I'm going to talk about with the All-Star voting. Let's get into these awards as we usually do to start the show. But no, I had a couple of other things to say. Let's go to it.
Monstrous line of the night.
The monstrous line of the night is Drew Holiday of the New Orleans Pelicans. This was a weird, weird day for fantasy. The Pelicans were extraordinarily shorthanded. No Etuan Moore, no Nick Mirotic, no Tone Davis, no Julius Randle. So Holiday just responded with what he always does. 22, 9, and 13, 4 steals and a block with 3 triples, 47% from the field, just doing what he continues to do and what he has continued to do all season. He's the 15th ranked player this season, 21, 5, and 8, with 1.7 steals and 48% shooting. The Pelicans are adamant that he's not a point guard. Yeah, Anthony Davis comes in, he's not a point guard. He is a point guard. He's the best point guard on this team. It's not even close. You're not a point guard. You're averaging over 8 assists per game. You're a point guard. Running things, efficiency, scoring. He's really, really good. He's not going to make the All-Star team most likely. I think that's disappointing because he is really good enough to be in that mix. It's a little bit disappointing that he's probably not. Maybe he does make it, but he's been really, really good. A strong selection. If you picked him, you could have got him in the third round in some scenarios. The back end of the second, he's been really, really good. And as consistent as they come, has he missed one game this season? No, he hasn't missed a single game. He is going through and proving my theory that you are injury prone until you are not. Now, knocking on wood, because my desk is made of wood, that he doesn't get hurt now, but he missed one game last season and he has not missed a single game this year and is playing 37 minutes a night. And that is why, again, being totally scared of guys with injuries that have healed is not something that he really should be panicky about. Weird shit can happen at any point, like him getting his face busted open, which happened a few years ago. But that leg injury is like 3-4 years in the rearview mirror now for Drew Holiday, and he is putting up the big numbers and it is really benefiting your fantasy team.
Waiver wire line of the night.
The waiver wire line of the night and the deep leaguer of the night is Jake Layman of the Portland Trailblazers. Layman was fantastic here. Now, it is against the Suns, But 33 minutes, 20 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal and 2 blocks with 2 triples. He's had a few of these big games of late. And in fact, over the last 2 weeks, he's a top 130 player, averaging almost 14 points. Now, it's on 58% shooting. He is shooting 53% from the field this year, which is ridiculous. Last season, he shot 29.8. The year before, he shot 29.2. So to say that it's been a fair turnaround would be one of the understatements of the season. His true shooting last year was 35%. Now we're up to 62%. So really a massive, massive step forward for Jake Layman in those shooting numbers. Now, it hasn't been a huge amount of minutes because he's not playing a large role. With Mo Harkless continuing to sort of struggle, Layman is jumping ahead of guys like Nick Stauskas, and a little bit of Harkless today played more minutes than him today. That is double-digit scoring for Layman in 6 of the previous 7 games. He's not normally doing too much else apart from scoring, but as a short-term, say, 14-team league streamer for those points categories, Layman is absolutely in play at the moment with what he's been able to do, and with the way that Terry Stotts is leaning on him, that should give you an extra level of, not necessarily reliance on him, but just feel like, at least for the short term, there's a bigger chance of this sticking for Layman as he's putting together a really, really strong run at the moment. And you didn't really see this coming, to at least not to this extent, but he's been obviously fantastic for this Portland Trailblazer team.
Young Gun of the Night.
The Young Gun of the Night is the Phoenix Suns' Ali Okobo, who stepped up with De'Anthony Melton going down. He played 28 minutes and had 12 and 7 with 3 triples and a steal. It wasn't a great night for Young Guns, to be honest. This wasn't the greatest performance from Okobo. But with Melton spraining that ankle, and it looked decently severe, Okobo is going to be really interesting for Friday, especially for DFS. But options opening up for him, maybe short-term, to be a starting point guard. Now, when I did my dynasty rankings at the start of the season, I had Okobo, I think, inside the top 20, marginally ahead of where De'Anthony Melton was. I still really like him long-term, and it's going to be interesting to see how he develops over the next 2 to 3 seasons. He's not a guy that you're grabbing in 12-team formats at this point, at least for long-term value. But depending on what happens with Melton, there is going to be some interesting scenarios opening up for him as a guy who can score, who can hit some threes, who can get some assists and get some steals. Not quite probably the fantasy option that Melton would be if he got those sort of minutes, but this could be a case where, because both of them aren't going to be available, if Melton's going to miss time, that more minutes get siphoned through to Okobo and he puts up some interesting numbers. So it was a positive night for Okobo, just not sure that it necessarily portends huge performances moving forward. The dud of the night goes to the future MVP, Kyle Kuzma. He's almost ready to take the baton of this one as well.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
Now, there was, Luke Walton did say he's dealing with a sore hip and he didn't look right physically. So yeah, that maybe that's a part of it, but his numbers have been really all over the place. When LeBron comes back, he's going to take a hit as well. You know, sometimes he's a sell high, sometimes he's a buy low, and that's what happens. He has these runs of big games and these runs of shit games, and that just tends to be what happens with him. He's the 84th ranked player over the course of the season, 19 points per game on 47% shooting, but he's so up and down with what he does, under 40% in each of the last 2 games, and in the 2 games before that, over 55% in both of those games, and that's what really matters. His game comes down to, do the shots go in? And while you could argue that's the case for most players, for him it's even more stark because he doesn't get blocks. The last time Kyle Kuzma had a block was on the 16th of December. That is a lack of defensive stats if I've seen it. He's averaging 0.6 steals and 2.5 assists. So all the value comes from points, and it comes from threes. And if the scoring opportunities drop when LeBron comes back and the efficiency falls off somewhat, and that three-point percentage, which was at like 40% for months last season, he's at 30% from three this year. And he is turning into a guy that maybe just isn't as good of a shooter as what he appeared to be for the first 30 games of last season. This is what he was in college, not a good three-point shooter. And now we've got a decent enough sample size to think that maybe he just isn't that good of a shooter. And that is not all that surprising, really. Again, some of that stuff seemed rather unsustainable from the future MVP. The GOATs of the day, plus minus, best net rating went to Andre Iguodala, a plus 85.9, while the worst net rating went to Otto Porter, a negative 50.7. He missed all of his threes against the Warriors. Iguodala was strong, pretty much matched up evenly against Porter, so that makes more sense. Iguodala has a really limited value, more of a 14-team league guy who is relatively consistent, but the upside is obviously pretty low with him as he moves forward. Let's talk some injuries now. A lot to talk about. Victor Oladipo, as we discussed yesterday, I said it was a potential patellar tendon tear or a quad tendon. It turned out to be a quad tendon, so his season is over. I worry a little bit about him for long-term dynasty value. You're getting explosion back from that is tough. The only two really NBA examples there are Tony Parker, and he's come back and he's okay, but he's clearly not the same guy, and Charles Barkley, and that basically ended his career. But they were guys who were significantly older than Oladipo when they had that injury. So, yeah. I don't think we should ever, at this point, expect a 2017-18 type Oladipo season again. I already didn't expect it this season because there was a lot of fluky and unsustainable elements to it. I'm not sure we ever get back to that. So if you're looking to buy low in a dynasty, don't think that you're getting a top 10 or a top 12 or a top 15 guy back. I don't think that's the case. Spencer Dinwiddie, the news come out, broken by Caron Butler, of all people, that he will have a torn thumb ligament. It's going to cost him 4 to 6 weeks, according to Shams. Now, the Nets are officially listing him as questionable for Friday. He is done. Shabazz Napier moves into that role. I've tweeted this out. I've mentioned it a few times. I don't think Napier comes in and takes the exact same role that Dinwiddie was doing. And that's the role, taking minutes away from D'Angelo Russell, running the point guard spot, playing alongside D'Angelo. Now, Shabazz is a good player. He can step into that. But I think you'll see a couple of the minutes from Dinwiddie go to Harris. Alan Crabb has to return as well. He'll get some of that playing time. And you could find a scenario that what it will enable to do is push Napier just to exclusively as backup point guard. And then you've got Harris and Crabb at the two. You've got Damari Carroll and Kurucs at the three. Rowdy Rodion's Kurucs and, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson and Jared Dudley at the four. Trevion Graham in that mix as well, making it hard for Napier to have a really elevated long-term value. So in a 14-team league, sure, grab him. In a 12-team, if there's no one else out there, you want to get some short-term value, especially while Crabb remains out, then yeah, Napier is that guy. But expecting it for the entire 4 to 6 weeks of Dinwiddie's injury, he's not going to be Spencer Dinwiddie. I feel pretty good about saying that with him. Larry Nance has been upgraded to probable for tomorrow. I don't know how many minutes he's going to play in that situation. And of course, Ante Zizic is there at center. So he will continue to start. I've got almost no doubt about that. We know Larry Drew's aversion to starting Larry Nance. But Nance probably should be grabbed off the wire in 12-team leagues. Kyle Anderson looks like he's about 2 or 3 games away from returning with that ankle injury in Memphis. So if he's on your wire, I'd be very, very happy to grab him. Chris Paul upgraded to questionable for Friday with his hamstring. It doesn't look like he'll play. Kelly Eco of The Athletic, saying that it's more likely going to be Sunday or early next week that he is ready to go. So, yeah, obviously he's going to come back. That's going to really cut into the value of Austin Rivers and Eric Gordon. So maybe a sell high on Gordo might be something you want to pay attention to. Well, Nick Mirotic missed today's game with a calf injury. He's going to be reevaluated in a week, but it looks like it's going to be a 2-week injury, perhaps more. That's obviously not great for the Pelicans. It opens up streaming value for Darius Miller. Jahlil Okafor gets to sustain some of his value, and he is a 12-team league guy in the short term, at least while Davis is out, and then Mirotic as well. And Randall missed today's game, but I don't think that's going to be too much of a long-term scenario. TJ Warren will be out for 2 to 3 weeks with his ankle injury in Phoenix. Kelly Oubre is a must-add. Josh Jackson behind him, but still a solid enough 12-team league guy to try and grab in that scenario. And LeBron James, haven't played this one for a while.
LeBron James.
Luke Walton said he wasn't sure if it was going to be days or weeks until LeBron would be back. And he said, I'm hopeful and I would think, and they're not confident words, they're the words that give off the impression of being confident without being fully there. He said, I'm hopeful and I would think that he would be back before the All-Star break. And that's not great. We're still 2-3 weeks away from the All-Star break. So I think you're going to brace yourself for at least another week of no LeBron, maybe even longer, which keeps the value of KCP there, keeps Kuzma's value elevated for a little bit more time as well. D'Anthony Melton, as I said, sprained his ankle today, and Derek Rose also had to leave with that ankle soreness. That means that Teague and Jones and Rose are all out in Minnesota, meaning Jared Bayless is going to be your short-term stream. And in deeper leagues, Jared Terrell is a guy who's going to slot into that backup point guard role. Now, how long that's going to be, we don't know, because we don't know how long Teague, although Teague can't run, can't see him being back anytime soon. Jones with that ankle sprain is out for a few more, and Rose has had multiple ankle injuries this season. You'd have to think that he is going to miss at least Friday's game, but multiple games would be my guess with Derek Rose and his ankle. So it's really not great injury news today. A lot of stuff going down across the league. Let's go through these games now, the four of those across the league, and talk about them for box score purposes. The first one of these games for the day was those New Orleans Pelicans. They were gallant, but they lost to the Thunder 122-116. Alfred Payton, probably his best game, 15-4 and 12 with two blocks. Only 29 minutes still. He's been up and down, I was going to say, but he's been mostly down. He's okay for 12-team leagues, but his must roster status is probably a little bit in question. Well, Darius Miller, 21 points, 7 rebounds, 5 triples, filling in for Etuan Moore and Nick Mirotic, a deep league streamer while Mirotic is out. Okafor, very empty, 18-8, no defensive numbers, but 75% from the field. This is fine, this is okay, and this means that he is a 12-team short-term value play, while my man Cheick Diallo, 16-4, a steal and a block in 23 minutes. I am here for that, of course. It took Mirotic, Davis, and Randall all being out, and he still only played 23 minutes. Gentry hates him. He didn't start him. He played Solomon Hill and ineffective, but that's just Solomon Hill's game at this point. 37 minutes for Solomon Hill. So Diallo, while that looks great and might have short-term 20 league value, it's not going to happen long-term because Gentry hates him. For the Thunder, Steve Adams, 20-13, strong from him, while Westbrook had a big triple-double. Of course, he pissed on your free throw percentage, 4 of 8. 23, 6, 17, and 16 with two steals for Westbrook, while Paulie George, named as an all-star starter, 23, 11, and 7 with 6 triples. Big from him, but weirdly, he was only 1 of 3 from the free throw line as well. And a great illustration here that Paul George's 1 of 3 is not as destructive, that's 33%. It's not as bad of a free throw night as Russell Westbrook's 4 of 8. Westbrook's night is significantly more destructive. Schroeder had 10 points with 5 assists in 22 minutes. I feel okay about having him as a 12-team drop. While Terry Ferguson, the big minutes are back. 35 minutes, 14 points, 2 triples, a steal, 2 assists. Now, he was the guy very clearly with the crown of does the least with the most, the old Tony Snell Award. He's moving away from that. He's hitting his shots. He's taking more shots. He's doing more. Like, usage up to 16%. That's unheard of for Ferguson. He is not a 12, probably not a 14-team league guy, but he's moving into a 3-point streamer with the likes of Ballinelli, Landry Shamet, those sort of players who can have some value in, say, 14-team league formats. Let's go on now to the next game. It was the Golden State Warriors and the Washington Wizards. Steph had 38. Durant had 21 with 5 assists and 3 blocks. Draymond had 7, 15, and 7. While DeMarcus Cousins played 24 minutes and sat out the last 8 minutes of this game. 30 minutes is going to come really soon for Boogie. I think he'll be at 30 comfortably before the All-Star break. The recovery and the fact of him being eased in, it's not happening. I thought they'd be really, really slow with getting the minutes back up. They're not. 17-6-3 with Cousins. I think he's going to be an absolute beast in the March portion of this season, and he'll be at 30 minutes a game before All-Star. Klay Thompson, the shooting wasn't quite there. He has been as up and down as almost anybody. 4 of 13 for 9 points with 5 assists. Not the best night to have him get an All-Star starter vote over James Harden. For Ariza, for the Wizards, 27 points, 3 assists, 2 steals and a block, 56%, 6 of 6 from the line. This is as flashing light, that's what I'm trying to get off, sirens, you need to sell high. He is not a 56 or 50% shooter. He's been doing that about the last 3 or 4 games. He is a 41, 42% shooter. So if anyone wants to buy, and there's always been a narrative, he's a top 40 guy, he's a top 40 guy. He's not, but if anyone wants to give you a top 40 guy back, you do it. And when he's shooting like this and putting up these lines, that's where you swoop on that. Satoransky was great. 20 points, 10 assists and 3 steals. 62% shooting, 39 minutes. Still stunningly available in 39% of Yahoo leagues. He is a must roster guy. While Porter had only 7 points on the old 3 of 14 shooting, 9 rebounds. And Beal, not his best night. The efficiency was horrible, but 22 and 10 gets it done. Tom Bryant, I loved what he did. 14, 5 and 4, 2 triples. 6 of 7 from the field, but only 21 minutes. Oh, man, it's so hard to know what Scott Brooks is going to do with this guy. He's really inconsistent with his playing time. We know that if Bryant gets 28 minutes a night, he's a top 60-ish, top 70 type of guy. In 18 minutes, in 21 minutes, well, it's less clear-cut as to him being a 12-team league player. So making that decision of if you need to drop him or hold him depends on who you'd be adding in his place. But, of course, he seems to have somewhat of a expiry date on his value based on the return of Markieff and Dwight Howard. Troy Brown also got some first quarter minutes, but still only ended up with six because Steve Kerr. Scott Brooks does struggle at times with the rotations. The Portland Trailblazers beat the Suns 120-106. Damian Lillard only the 30 minutes there, 24 points with two steals and two blocks. Just cherish those defensive numbers from Lillard. A layman we spoke about, CJ McCollum only played 25 minutes and had 20 points. This game was a real blowout. Seth Curry, 30 minutes, 17 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals and a block. Probably his best game as a member of the Blazers, but he's unlikely to get 30 minutes every night. Nurkic had 16 and 9 in another situation where he was rested so Zach Collins could come in and have 7 and 8 with 2 blocks. While the Chief, Al-Farouq Aminu, jammed his finger, dislocated early, he was able to return, but that's why he only played the 16 minutes. 7 and 5 probably does still remain a 12-team league guy. For the Suns, another big Kelly Oubre game, and this time, and this is what's separating him at the moment, normally his big games would come Justin Jackson style on like 80% shooting or 70% shooting. He put up 18 points on 33% shooting. And while that's shit from efficiency standpoint, the fact that he's still got all this value, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks, this guy has never been a stat stuffer at all. And now he is starting to put it together and starting to put together that ability to contribute in multiple categories that when the shot doesn't fall, he is still valuable. So I'm ready to start turning around on Oubre. Over his last 2 weeks, he's averaging 1.4 steals and 1.4 blocks and 2 assists. He's normally been really, really horrible in assists. And to be fair, he had 7 here. The previous 4 games, he combined for 2 assists. So it's not like he's completely turned that around. But it is getting into good sign type of territory for Kelly Oubre. So big numbers there from him. Dragan Bender started again, 17 points with 3 steals in 28 minutes with both Ayton and Holmes out. And Devin Booker, 27 points, but only the 30 minutes in this blowout. Bridges did his thing. He got a steal. He hit 2 threes. And Josh Jackson was putrid. 6 points on 10 shots. That high shooting, which we talked about in yesterday's show, or maybe it was the day before, is unlikely to stick. And it clearly did not stick. Jamal Crawford played 23 minutes. I think there's a legitimate chance he does not play on Friday due to the back-to-back. Let's go on to the last game of the day. The Timberwolves beat the Lakers comfortably 120-105. Towns had 27, 12, and 5 with 2 blocks. Taj had a solid 14 and 10 with a steal and a block. And that sort of a game, that's a 12-team league sort of a game. I don't look at him as a 12-team league player, though. You should be well aware of that. I look at him more as a 14-team guy. But if he's on your 12-team roster, it's not a crime against humanity. There is some value there. And over the last 2 weeks, he has been a top 90 player. Because he's shooting 60% from the field, that's really where his value is coming from, and that's not a number which is necessarily going to be able to sustain that high. But 63% over the last month is interesting. His free throws are way up as well over the last 15 games, 83%. I feel like there is going to be a fairly decent element of regression coming from old Taj Gibson soon, but we're not there yet. He's looking okay. So he's, I guess, more of a stopgap sort of a guy, and not someone who I'm just holding on to for the sake of holding on to, with the understanding of that a lot of his numbers, there is some element for regression, which will be an issue when it does happen. Jared Bayless, 16 points with 8 assists in 30 minutes because Derrick Rose went down, so there's that short-term value. While Jared Terrell, 10 points in 10 minutes with 2 triples, just a really deep league sort of an add there. Gorgie Jang, Josh Okogie, 40 minutes for not much value. Okogie shot 2 of 14. That is horrendous, 14%. While Wiggins, 23 and 8 with 2 steals, 39% shooting isn't great, but nice volume stuff there from Andrew Wigo Wiggins. Onto the Lakers, Rondo was back. He had 15, 6, and 13, a steal, 2 blocks, and he is a must-roster player. Ingram had 20 with 6 rebounds and only the 1 assist. With Rondo back and LeBron and Ball coming back at some point, his assists are going to take a hit. While Caldwell Pope had 13 points with a 3, he is just a streamer and 14-team league guy. The big news in LA was that Ivica Zubac started, but he only played 21 minutes, with JaVale McGee playing 22. 10 and 8 for Zubac, 10 and 6 with 2 blocks for McGee. Who of those guys do you want in 12-team leagues? I guess that's the big question. Look, McGee has been solid nearly all of the season. Tyson Chandler was entirely out of the rotation. I don't feel that this is settled at all or solidified in any sort of manner. Chandler could be back in the rotation. McGee could play 12 minutes next game. But the last 2 games from JaVale have been much more impressive. I'd like to see them continue to just go with McGee and Zubac as those centers instead of giving 5 minutes to Flaming Mo Wagner. Flames on the Flame Mo. But Zubats is probably the guy that I feel more comfortable with JaVale. He's trending in the right direction, but I don't think there's a necessary right answer or a wrong answer here. It's very much up in the air. If I took one, it would probably be Zubats over McGee, but again, it could very easily go either way. Josh the Hitman Hart is not a 12-team league guy. 5 points in 21 minutes for the Hitman. He is really struggling at this point in the season. Let's go on now, flip it over to talk some DFS in the NBA. We will start with the perfect DFS lineups, and I've never seen perfect lineups with scores this low. On DraftKings, Drew Holiday, Steph Curry, Terry Ferguson, Solomon Hill, Steve Adams, Satoransky, Darius Miller. What a lineup, Jesus. Russell Westbrook, and that was 289.25. That is astonishing. That is the full $50,000 on DraftKings. On FanDuel, not much better. Westbrook, Satoransky, Drew, Ferguson, Darius Miller, Solomon Hill. Imagine a lineup that has both Darius Miller and Solomon Hill in it. Draymond Green, Jeremy Grant, and Steven Adams for a total of 274.2. And that cost the full... No, it didn't. It cost close to the full, but not quite the full. $59,400. All right, guys, let's talk some DFS now. We're looking at Friday's games. There are 10 games on, so a pretty big slate across the NBA. Tons of injury news, value opening up in many places. I'm sure more stuff will come out over the next 24 or so hours before these games start, maybe a bit less than 24 hours. The first game we look at, the Washington Wizards on a back-to-back after facing off against the Golden State Warriors. They take on the Orlando Magic in Orlando. The Magic are 4-point favorites. The total here is 217.5. Could be an interesting matchup for Thomas Bryant against Nick Vucevic, but of course, trusting Scott Brooks with his minutes is always a fool's errand. Isaiah Briscoe is questionable for Orlando. If he is out, it'll be Jaren Grant that takes that backup point guard role. Thomas Satoransky was fantastic against Golden State. He had 47 points there. He's at 5,500. Of course, we're doing DraftKings pricing here, sorry. 5,500 for Satoransky, playing really, really well. I like him here in this matchup. I think he's got cash and tournament value. While DJ Augustin at 51 has been putting up some strong-ish type numbers as well, but his consistency is nowhere near where it needs to be. So he can be okay for tournaments, but I wouldn't put him as a high priority guy. I love Brad Beal, 8,900, strong against Golden State. He's strong pretty much every night, a really solid floor type of a player who also has that 70-point, 80-point upside. In fact, he's had a 94-point game this season, so huge tournament upside. Evan Fournier is almost as inconsistent as they come. At 5,600, there is clear 40-point upside for him, which makes him an interesting tournament guy, and the matchup suits him, I guess. Well, Terry Ross at 51. I'd probably take Fournier over Ross, even though it is $500 more for tournaments, of course. Otto Porter at 6,100 didn't hit really any of his shots against the Warriors, so I'd be looking for a bit of a bounce back here. I like the bounce back spot for Porter, who's been playing relatively well off the bench, while As Gordon comes in at 6,500, maybe a little bit expensive for Gordo, who's not really doing that sort of a level of performance all that often, so I'd leave him alone. Well, Johnny Isaac at 47, averaging 27 over his last three, some with Gordo, some without, 34 points last game. I'm not super into him here. While Trevor Ariza is riding a real hot streak, averaging 39 over the last three. It's on the back of some very, very big shooting nights. And we know, in general, Ariza isn't a good shooter. So he's got real bust potential here in a matchup, which is a relative negative because Isaac's quite a good defender on the wing, and he has been able to limit opposition small forwards in a relatively strong manner. Jeff Green and Sam Decker aren't really worthy of consideration. The big men, though, 9,700 for Nick Vucevic. He's just a 50-point machine. Like him here, no reason not to. While Tom Bryant, as I mentioned, at 5,400, he's giving us 27 a night, which is fine. It's just the minutes are quite low. Now, I do like this matchup for him against Vuč. It does allow centers to put up good numbers, but the Scott Brooks conundrum is a problem. If I didn't have the inconsistency issues with Brooks, I'd consider him a cash guy at that sort of salary. I just do have that sort of an issue, so that makes him quite tough to roster outside of your old tournament outside of your old tournament formats. That's the word I was looking for. Over on FanDuel, Aaron Gordon, probably the best of the bunch there. 6,600, 10-2 for Vucevic is okay, 10-1 for Beal. It's probably a little bit too high for Brad at that sort of a salary over on FanDuel. Let's go on now to the next game of the day. we are looking at the Knicks and the Nets. The Nets are 10-point favorites here. 224 is the total. We don't know what's going to happen with Enes Kanter. Will he be a DNP CD again? He's just as likely to play 27 minutes as he is to be a DNP CD, so that's something to watch. While Spencer Dinwiddie, officially listed as questionable by the Nets, but it looks like he's going to be out for the next 4 to 6 weeks with a thumb ligament injury, as I detailed earlier on. Let's take a look at this game. DraftKings pricing. Of course, Emmanuel Mudiay also listed as questionable for the Knicks, as is Trey Burke. And that Trey Burke one is important because if Mudiay is out, Burke would have to move into that backup point guard role with Ntilikina slotting in as a starter. But if both Burke and Mudiay are out, it's going to be a lot of minutes for Ntilikina, more minutes at point guard for Alonzo Trier, meaning more minutes appear on the wings for guys like Damian Dotson. So that could be an interesting one, even though Burke not likely to play under normal circumstances. For the Nets, Hollis Jefferson also questionable, but he is not going to be an impact player. At point guard, Shabazz Napier is at 3,600. And while I don't think he'll be taking on all of Dinwiddie's role and usage, at 3,600, you pretty much can't ignore that. He's had a 50-point game this season. That is really strong value and pretty much a must-roster cash play with those injuries there in Brooklyn. D'Angelo's at 86. I really do like Rosson, and that's a high price for him, but he's not at risk of getting benched for Dinwiddie. 56 average over the last three. Really like D'Angelo. And then for the Knicks, Alonzo Trier is at 4,700. Now, his recent production is because of a huge spike in field goal percentage, but at 4,700, with doubt over Mudiay there as well, I do think Trier is a worthy option. As for Manny, he's at 5,300, maybe more tournaments for Mudiay than anything else. Ntilikina, 3,700. His high score this season is just 32. I don't really see him as a great option. At shooting guard, Smokin' Joe Harris is at 49. He gets a bump, I believe, with Dinwiddie out as well. I'm not sure 4,900 for Joe Harris is the best, while Timmy Hardaway at 59 is probably a little bit too high. Damo Dotson at 36 would just be a weird tournament flyer. At small forward, Damari Carroll's at 47. I'd look at Carroll if Hollis Jefferson is out. He had 27 in 32 minutes. He'll also get an indirect bump in minutes with Dinwiddie sidelined, I believe, because it pushes Kurucs away from the 4 down to the 3 and maybe the 2 a little bit more. Harris down from the 3 to the 2 as well, giving some extra playing time to guys like Carroll. So Damari could be in play there, but not a strong option. Kurucs at 43, not really doing it for me. While the Fort, Kevin Knox at 5,200, strong from him last time, 28 points. But consistency is a challenge, or actually good performances are a challenge for Knox, so I'd probably end up fading him. The big man, Jarrett Allen, 5,800. Now we know that centers against the Knicks and centers against the Nets has been a great option all season for DFS. Now they face off against each other. So Jarrett Allen at 58, I'm in on it. This should be a 30-plus type of performance from him. Noah Vonleh, will he start at center again with Lance Thomas at power forward? We don't know, but at 5,900, he looks okay. I'm not sure his upside's high enough, but for cash, I think he's fine. And then you got Mitch Robinson at 4,000. If Robinson doesn't foul out, he will absolutely smash that number. That's the problem, though. So I think he makes a tournament guy. That's about it. Just the uncertainty with how many minutes he's going to end up with makes him tough. On FanDuel, Shabazz at 38, an absolute no-brainer. Kurucs at 41, I think, is valuable. I like Vonleh, I like D'Angelo, I like Trier, and Jarrett Allen at 66, as well as Damari at 47, are having some value on FanDuel. And the 5,000 for Smokin' Joe Harris actually comes in as a pretty good price on FanDuel, given, again, relative value of the other players on that slate. Next up, the Miami Heat and the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Heat are 9-point favorites. The total, 210. Whiteside versus Zizic, most likely. Tristan Thompson out again, but Larry Nance is listed as probable, so he could be returning. I don't think, given Larry Drew's reluctance to start Nance at any point this season, that he will throw him back in there in his first game back from a knee injury. So I think Zizic is pretty safe for his 30 minutes a game. You'll see a lot of Blossom Games minutes going towards Nance there. And I think he will be relatively limited in his playing time in this game. At point guard, Tyler Johnson's at 4,200. He played 36 minutes last game. I imagine he starts again. He had 27 points there. I think he is a strong option. Well, Dwayne Wade at 4,700. Love that price for Wade-O. He's putting up strong 27 a game, which is great at 4,700. Justice Winslow, I'd fade that at 6,200. The Cavs are a terrible defense, but Winslow hasn't really been in that zone yet. Jordy Clarkson, Matty Dellavedova, the Padawan Colin Sexton. I'm not seeing value in those guys. But to be fair to Sexton, his last three games have yielded 27 points per game, which at $5,000 I think is absolutely worth looking at. Shooting guard Deion Waiters at 41. A lot of minutes for Waiters last time out. If you want to go hashtag revenge game, Waiters is playing against his former team, but I would only look at him for tournaments. Rocket Rodney Hood, it's really tough to stomach him in any format. Well, Joshy Richardson.
Giggity.
Actually, I pushed that giggity too high, too far, too quickly. That's the word. This heat is melting my brain. He is at 6,900.
Giggity.
Yeah. Strong 30 pluses from him the last couple. Not sure it's really worthy of a spot in cash or even in tournaments. While Derek Jones Jr. at 39, is he one of the most inconsistent guys in terms of playing time in the NBA? It's pretty impossible to get a full read on him, making him impossible to use in cash. The big men, Zizic is at 5,700. I think for cash, that is a pretty solid lock. While Hassan Whiteside, also 6,900.
Giggity.
Massive from him last time, 49 points there. Going up against Zizic, I think you'll get more Whiteside minutes than Bam Adebayo.
Bam! 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 Bam!
I would not want to put Whiteside into my lineup at 6,900, though. It just feels there's a big risk there. Adebayo's at 43. That's probably a fade. Larry Johnson. No, try again. James Johnson or Larry Nance. Not guys that I'm super into here in this matchup. The FanDuel side of things, Tyler Johnson and Zizic. Zizic is especially 5,400. I really like that. Justice Winslow, more of a tournament guy on FanDuel. Larry Nance at 5,000. We love what Nance can do, but you know how are the minutes going to look? And then you got Wade at 5,000, who I also think comes in as a pretty appealing option over on FanDuel, especially for cash, where there can be some interesting cash value there for him. A solid floor, that's the word I was looking for. All right, the next game we look at, the Raptors and the Rockets. The Raptors are 2.5-point favorites. The total is 228. We're finally going to get the return of Kawhi Leonard, the fun guy.
I'm a fun guy.
And the Jedi, OG Anunoby.
Hello there.
Anunoby's missed the last few for personal issues, and Kawhi has been managing his load, so he will likely be returning. In this game here, of course, for Houston, there's a chance that Chris Paul returns. He's been upgraded to questionable. I don't think that Paul will play. I think Kelly Eco of The Athletic says it's more likely he returns Sunday or early next week. So I would not expect Chris Paul to play in this game for the Rockets. That's the latest word on the street there. I don't remember if I gave you the... Yes, I did give you the spread and the total, so my apologies again. This heat is absolutely frying my brain. Point guards, that's where we're at. Kyle Lowry, 7,500. He's giving you 37 a night over the last five, most of those without Kawhi. I don't hate the spot here for Lowry. I think it's solid for cash. Well, Jimmy James Harden, 13,800. I'm not worried about Chris Paul coming back, but that is just an absolute massive chunk. Now, there's value opening up all over the place. I think we're going to have value opening up in Minnesota with Derek Rose unlikely to play. You're going to have value opening up in Phoenix with D'Anthony Melton unlikely to play. You've got that value in Brooklyn. So putting a guy like Harden and surrounding him with multiple sub-4,000 potential starters, I think that could really work. But that's really the only scenario that's going to work, because that is a lot of money for Harden. But the way that this slate is breaking down, it seems like it's going to be doable. Austin Rivers at 43 is not doing it for me, while Van Vliet, with the return of both Leonard and Anunoby, is going to move back to the bench. For the wings, Eric Gordon's at 5,300. I like that if Chris Paul is out, as I expect. It's probably fade if Chris Paul is back. Gerald Green, Danny Green, more just tournaments and that's it. The fun guy himself, 9,500. I'm in on that for Kawhi. That's a super, super good price. While the Jedi at 32, I think, is a strong fade. And PJ Tucker at 5,000. I just don't see the value of... I just don't see the value of using him at that sort of a salary. On to the big man, Ken Faried at 5,300. That's a $900 price rise, but I don't really care. He is a value option here. And 6,300 for Serge. He dropped 49 last game. I think it's relatively valuable for Ibaka. There might be other guys out there who are better, but Faried comes in, you know, looking stronger. Well, Siakam's putting up great categories type lines. They're not that good for DFS. 31 average over the last five, which is 6,400. It just doesn't cut it. So I'm not really interested in using him here in this situation. All right, over on FanDuel, Ibaka at 67 comes in okay. Siakam is much more favorable on FanDuel, 6,200, and 75 for Kyle Lowry, also relatively stable. The 10-3 for Kawhi is probably a little bit too high, but it's far from egregious. And 14,000 from Jim Harden, the same sort of story that I mentioned before. You can fit some of those cheaper guys in around him. although a lot of those cheap options are point guards, and that might be harder to do on FanDuel with the more strict, more rigid positioning stuff that they do have happening over there. Next up, we've got the Sacramento Kings and the Memphis Grizzlies. No spread or total app out at this point. It is the Dave Yeager Bowl, also the Garrett Temple revenge game if you are into that sort of thing. On DraftKings here, other injuries to talk about, sorry. Nemanja Bjelica, De'Aaron Fox, they're not on the injury report for the Kings, nor is Amon Shumpert. They all missed the last game. And then for the Grizzlies, Garrett Temple is listed as probable. Joakim Noah, also probable as well. At point guard, Mick Conley, 7,700. I like his ability to get cash value there. It's a perfect matchup, a massive positive going up against the Kings for point guards. Or De'Aaron Foxy Fox at 7,300. Had that game off. The Kings' pace has dropped dramatically recently, and Fox's performances have dropped. I'm not all that into using him, although the matchup is a relatively solid one. Shelvin Mack, Javon Carter, they're not going to do it for me. Justin Holiday at 4,100 has been, I guess, disappointing. Is probably the best. Way of phrasing that, but I think at 4,100 he is an option here. And Bogdan Bogdanovic, I love. He's averaging 40 over the last three. He's only priced at 5,600. I am on board with that. Much more on board with that than I am the 6,800 that you have to pay for Bud Hield, and I would not be shelling out that salary. At small forward, it's a whole bunch of wasteland guys. Omri Caspi, Jermichael Green at 5,200 is too expensive. Justin Jackson. Good luck if you want to use a small forward out of this game. For the big man, Triple J, 5,400, Jaren Jackson Jr. He had 36 the last time these two teams played. I like him. There is always that risk with him, but I think his floor is decently solid. While Marvin Bagley, I hope that he does start in this game over Bjelica. He had a 44-point breakout with Bjelica resting last time. And at 5,300, I like this spot. Giles, I'd probably leave alone. Same with Cauley Stein. While Mark Gasol at 8,300, I doubted him last game. He dropped 68 points in that game, including a triple-double. That is a big price rise for Gasol, and I'm not certain that it is the right spot to use him there with so many other value options opening up on this slate. On FanDuel, I think Bagley at 58 is one of the better plays there. 49 for Justin Holiday is a GPP type of a guy. Hield is so much better on FanDuel at $6,000. I really like that. Conley at 84 in a much worse spot. I'd probably take Fox over Conley on FanDuel given their respective prices. All right, let's go on to the next game. It is the Clippers taking on my Chicago Bulls, and I use my very, very loosely. Jabari Parker sat out last game with a patellar tendon strain. He is probable, and he says he needs to play more minutes. He can't get into a rhythm, and he needs to play 20 to 25 minutes a game. I've got news for him. He's probably not going to do that, so that rhythm can go on being elusive. Danilo Gallinari, the Rooster, he is out for the Clippers. Pat Beverley's at 4,800. He's been wildly up and down, but with Gallinari out, I expect him to start again and have some value against an absolutely piss-poor, atrocious franchise, the Chicago Bulls. Gilgeous Alexander at 43, I'd feel pretty good about fading that. While Chris Dunn at 6,600, maybe a little bit too high. Lou Williams at 67, I'd much rather take Lou Will over Chris Dunn in that spot. While Levine's at 7,200, he's been giving you a consistent 35 a night. I think he's pretty okay at that salary as a cash play. Maybe not the tournament upside we're looking for, though. Avery Bradley at 39, he's playing well. I'll give credit when it's juice. 26 average over the last three. And if there's a team you're going to do it against, it's probably going to be the Bulls again. So maybe he could be a low price cash option. I just think there are going to be better plays out there. On the wing, small forwards, you've got Chandler Hutchison at 39. He's giving you around 20 a night. Not bad for cash, but there are other guys that I'd rather go with. Toby Harris is crushing at the moment with the Rooster out. At 8,200, I like his cash value quite a bit. Markkanen's at 6,500, and he is just not a lock for 30, but pretty close to it. His upside maybe isn't as high as what we would like, but for cash, I do like him. And then the table, Montrezl Harrell at 6,700 and PunchBob Shiploke at 5,700. Portis, to me, is a clear tournament sort of guy, but we have seen centers go off against the Clippers all season, so this is the time you want to use Portis. Centers against the Bulls have also gone off, so Harrell at 6,700, he should be able to get to 35. I'm not overly confident in it, but I do like that matchup scenario. Gortat and Robin Lopez, I don't think I'll put much stock in those blokes. Well, Johnny Motley at 3,200, just maybe a bit hard for him to find enough minutes, but again, the matchup, if there's any matchup that anyone's going to put up numbers, it is against the old Chicago Bulls. On FanDuel, Portis, Beverley, Harrell, Markkanen, I like all those guys. I like Toby Harris a lot at 7,900. That's a really strong price. And Lou Williams at 65 is also in a pretty good spot over on FanDuel. Next up, it's the Hornets and the Bucks. The Bucks are 11-point favorites. The total, 228.5. There's a massive blowout risk here for the Bucks, as we know that when they get ahead of teams, and they've been steamrolling plenty of teams this season, that the guys have their minutes limited. The Hornets have been frisky at times, and they have played the Bucks really well. Let's see if they go back to that decision they made a couple of early times this season where they go without a center, and they play a lot of Miles Bridges and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist at center, limiting Hernan Gomez and Biyombo. That is absolutely something we need to watch for, and it did cause problems for Milwaukee, so that's something to bear in mind. Malcolm Brogdon is at fit. Well, actually, before I check, any injuries in this one to talk about? No, that's good. Malcolm Brogdon, 5,800. I like the cash value for Brogo there. Really strong. While Kemba, the all-star starting point guard at 8,100. Really like his value as well. Eric Bledsoe, he's rolling at the moment. His lowest score in his last five has been 31. I think he is also a cash play on DraftKings. Shooting guard, Jeremy Lamb's at 52. I think that is absolutely rock solid for cash. I don't think there is any issue with using that at all. That's a really, really strong option to use Lamb at that sort of a salary. Then you've got Middleton at 6,400. Now, he has excelled against Charlotte in the past. He is in a real slump at the moment, so I'd probably end up fading him. Batum at 48 is exceeding that value. He's averaging over 26 points in his last three. Maybe a tournament guy, but I'm not sure the upside is really where it needs to be. And at small forward, if you want to go weird, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist at 36. As I just mentioned, they can go with a lot of him at center in this one. That is absolutely an option. And Marvin Williams at 46. There could be some GPP value in both of those guys, of course. Antetokounmpo at 10,700, an absolute cash lock in my opinion at that sort of a salary with his level of production. Miles Bridges, the other guy you could weirdly throw into a tournament at 3,300. The big men, we got DJ Wilson at 3,400, Bismack Biyombo at 41, and Bill Hernan Gomez at 39. This, for those Hornet centers, it is a real risk in this game. While Brook Lopez at 55, he is absolutely crushing that number, averaging 30 over the last three, blocking everything inside. Not certain this is the best spot for Brook, especially with a $700 price rise. It's not horrible. I just think there are better ways out there to spend that level of cash. On FanDuel, Yanni's at 11.5. You've got that same upside with Kidd-Gilchrist and Marv. You've got Brogdon at 62, who I think is a relatively good play as well. And I like Eric Bledsoe at 7,700. Kemba, not a bad option on FanDuel as well, just probably not as good as what he is on DraftKings. Next up, the Detroit Pistons and the Dallas Mavericks. No spread or total out for this game at the moment. Dennis Smith was great last time for Dallas. Can he keep it up against one of the teams that were rumored to be interested in trading for him? At point guard, Smith is at 4,800. He had 34 last game. I like using him here quite a bit. Reggie Jackson at 4,700. Strong game from him last time, but his inconsistency makes it impossible to use him. But it is a positive matchup for Reg, so maybe in tournaments, but not all that interested. While Luka Doncic is at 8,400. That is a really strong cash floor play. Bruce Brown, the Shark, Langston Galloway, Jose Calderon with his Smith doubtful, not likely to go with them. Should have mentioned it already, Andre Drummond has been upgraded to probable. At shooting guard, Wes Matthews at 4,300. The projections like him, I'm not so certain on it here. Maybe for tournaments, that's about it. While Reggie Bullock at 44 doesn't do it for me. The Duck, Luke Kennard, similarly. At small forward, the pencil, Harrison Barnes, he has just been a big pile of nothing. And surprisingly, Pistons have guarded small forwards relatively well this season. So at 5,100 for the pencil, probably better options around for that. At the big man spots, Drummo at 8,800, too high for me. Griffin at 9,900. This guy is just cranking out games, big one after big one after big one. Yes, some of them came without Drummond, but he's been doing it pretty much all of the season. So I like Griffin at 9,900. Maxi Kleber, Dirk Nowitzki, Zaza Pachulia, Dwight Powell. None of those guys are interesting. Is DeAndre Jordan interesting at 7,100? Well, I hate that they've bumped him by $700, but his recent form would suggest yes. This is a relatively negative matchup, and he has struggled against Andre Drummond in the past. So you can consider him. I just wouldn't have him as any level of a lock play. On FanDuel, this game doesn't really excite me much on FanDuel at all. Maybe the 10-1 for Griffin is interesting. Dennis Smith at 5,900 is too high. 77 for DeAndre. There's a level of interest there. 9,000 for Doncic is too high as well. Let's go on to the next game. We have got the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Utah Jazz. The Jazz are 10-point favorites. The total is a very sexy Richie Beno.
2 for 2, 2, 2.
And Mitchell, who kept it going last game, despite the move to shooting guard, he's in for another interesting scenario here. The Wolves will be, I assume, without Jeff Teague. I assume they'll be without Tyus Jones, and I assume they will also be without Derrick Rose. So Jared Bayless is going to get a huge, huge bump in value. And then you've got a guy like Jared Terrell, who is likely to come in and be that backup guy. Some more minutes coming for Josh Okogie as well, but some real value opening up for this Minnesota Timberwolves team. Ravishing Rick Rubio. He is at 5,700, dropped 30 in the last game in his first game, or second game back from hamstring, first game back starting. Maybe more of a tournament guy here, not all that keen for cash. While Donovan Mitchell.
Is Don good.
Shout out to the guy on Twitter who prompted me to use that, which I should have been using for quite a while. He's averaging 47 over the last five. The matchup's a decent positive one for Don, so I do think that him at that salary is a really strong option. And then, of course, Jared Bayless at 3,600. This is looking like an absolute ripper for him, with Rose and Teague likely sidelined. We don't know exactly at the time of me recording this whether those guys will be out. It does appear that they will, but we're just not sure. Again, at the time that I'm going to be recording this, so there is value in him and Jared Terrell as well. For the wings, Jinglin Joe's at 57. I like this for Ingles. Andy Wiggins at 57. I think he's done really well against Utah in the past. I think he's going to be an underpriced option. Okogie's at 4,400. Some value there with all those guards going down as well. Maybe a sneaky tournament sort of a player. Jay Crowder's at 5,000. He doesn't really do it for me at all. And then the big man, Townsie, at 10,000. I'm really interested in him. It's a positive matchup again. Gobert's a great defender, but centers have put up good numbers against him this season. And Gobert at 8,500. Well, I'm happy to go with him as well. Both of these centers have a ton of appeal. Favors at 5,000, I'd leave alone. Taj Gibson at 45, probably not. Šarić, Jing, none of those guys really do it for me. Over on FanDuel, Ingles and Towns look good. Of course, that Bayless and Terrell scenario is clearly in play if Rose and Teague happen to miss this game. Wiggins at 63 looks okay, and the Don at 8,500. I really like Donovan Mitchell on FanDuel as well. The last game of the night, the Phoenix Suns on a back-to-back against the Denver Nuggets. No spread or total yet. The Suns' big men and now their point guard. We don't know if they're going to play DeAndre Ayton and Rishawn Holmes. Both missed the last three games. DeAnthony Melton, I think, would be a stunner to see him play. Jamal Crawford, it's a back-to-back. Will he actually suit up? There is going to be value open up here, whether it's Dragan Bender or almost guaranteed we're going to have Ali Okobo have value now. At $3,000, the absolute minimum, he is the number one lock cash guy, I believe, for this entire slate. I love him here. Booker at 7,900. He's really not the same guy at the moment, but I do like him in this scenario. Going to have to play a bit more point guard. While the blue arrow, Jamal Murray, he has eviscerated the Suns in the past, averaging 50 the last three. I'm on board with him here. Monty Morris at 37, probably not happening. And Jamal Crawford, I'm not that interested in. McCall Bridges at 37. He's going to have to play a few more minutes in this game with Booker and Crawford concentrating more time at point guard. He's got some upside there as well. GPP guy. While Gaz Harris at 5,000.
Nice, Gary!
Yeah, it's pretty nice. Oubre at 56 is a massive option. Huge, huge, huge play. And 61 for Farton, Will Barton. Well, that salary skyrocketed. That takes a bit of the shine off Barton there, but there is still some value in him. Torrey Craig not doing it for me. Joshie Jackson at 55, another opportunity to start. Wasn't quite at his best in today's game, but I do like the opportunity he has been afforded here. And then the big man, Plumlee's at 3,900. I don't mind that for a tournament in a potential blowout. Nick Jokic at 10,600. Yeah, look, this is a huge, huge chance for Jokic. Let's hope he doesn't get suspended after that issue. We haven't heard anything about it at this point. I think we would have heard by now, so that seems good. Love this spot for Jokic. And then for the Suns centers, Ayton's at 6,600. I would be tournamenting him if he does play. If he is out, of course, we look at Holmes. And if they're both out, then Dragan Bender becomes an okay option, who's had three solid starts without these guys playing. Paul Millsap, it should go without saying that I have no interest in. On FanDuel, there's a ton of value here. Harris, Barton, Okobo, Oubre, Jokic, even Booker, McCall Bridges, Josh Jackson, tons of cash value, tons of tournament value in this game over on FanDuel. Let's go into the studs and values of the day. Karl-Anthony Towns is my stud on DraftKings, and my value play is Shabazz Napier. On FanDuel, my stud is Jokic, and my value play is Gaz Harris at 44. On Yahoo, my stud is Jokic, and my value play is minimum salary Kenneth Faried. And on DraftStars, my stud is Jokic, and my value play is Shabazz Napier. Make sure you guys are going and subscribing to this podcast on Apple Podcasts and leaving a 5-star review. Also, if you could go to the Australian Podcast Awards site, which I've tweeted out multiple times, check my Twitter account at redrock_Beeble and cast a vote for this podcast, it would be absolutely fantastic. So hopefully you guys can do that as well. And check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network, guys. We are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Larry Drew.